Thank you for that transition, because tonight we're going to talk about becoming the person God has called us to be. Becoming who God has called you to be is what I felt the Lord led me early in the week to preach on. And so before we get into the scripture, I want to say you need to understand two things about the process that God uses. Number one, in becoming who God is calling you to be, it is an ongoing process. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It is an ongoing. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But what I have understood, I used to think that that applied, that was like a one-time thing. That's like when you get saved, you become a new creature. But what I'm understanding is it is an ongoing. I am becoming a new person as I walk with him, as I submit to him, as I allow him to work in my life. Number two, you need to understand it is a personal thing. That's why God can be dealing with you about something and it feels like everybody else he's not dealing with them about. Like you have to be the bigger person maybe in a particular relationship, even at church. Like, and you're like, but God, why do I need to apologize or why do I need to do whatever? And that's because God is working on different ones of us at different times. And so he is a personal God and he works on us in a personal way. And so if we will submit to that leadership and to him working in our lives, then he will work and he will grow us in the way that we need to grow. So what does he use to teach us? The three things, this is what we're going to focus on tonight. Number one, he uses his word. Number two, he uses people in our lives. And number three, he uses testing or circumstances. So the first one, what does he use to teach us? It's his word. Number one, he uses his word. And this might seem a given, but it's amazing the amount of Christians that name the name of Christ, but they have time to watch television. They have time to go to work. They have time to talk to their friends. They have time to text and Facebook, but they do not have time to spend time in God's word every day. The truth is, as Christians, it is vital that we spend time in the word of God every day. It says that Jesus, when he was being tempted by the devil, responded with, in Matthew 4, and you can stand and we'll read, in Matthew 4, chapter 4, I believe it's verse 4. I just wrote the verse. I didn't write the scripture on my, and I had laid my Bible down somewhere. And so that's why I just have the scriptures printed and not my Bible. But put up Matthew 4, 4. Okay, yes. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now we know that the scripture comes from God. It is inspired. It was written by men, but it is inspired of God Almighty. So let's read that together. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay, you can be seated. Now this is important because Jesus also said, he told us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread was talking about the food that we need every day. So Jesus told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And then he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need physical food and we need spiritual food every day. Every day on a daily basis. Now, when we do not get into the Word of God is when we can begin to establish what we believe just based on what we've heard, you know, what other people have said. And if we don't allow God, the Holy Spirit, to balance the scripture is when we can get unbalanced in our Christian life, because the scripture is full of balance. But if you, like my mom says, if you take one scripture and you make your doctrine based on the scripture that says, for example, Matthew 7 that says, judge not lest you be judged. Well, you take that I am never to look at anything anytime. Like I'm never to judge, but the Bible also says we will judge by the fruits. Like you go, well, I can't judge anybody that I'm talking to. I can't, look at somebody's lifestyle before I ask them to be an accountability partner or something like somebody said earlier, because, well, I don't want to be judgmental. You have to balance that scripture. And when you spend time in the Word of God, you'll realize that the scripture is balanced for everyday life. So as we begin to read it and spend time with God, then he will teach us the balance and what that looks like. looks like. If we did that with anybody, if you took a statement that I said in a particular moment and said, this applies to my life all day, every day, all the time, everybody. That's not true. It doesn't apply. We have to take all the counsel, the whole counsel of God, and we have to let him teach us so then he can bring that balance in our lives, in our daily life as we walk with him. So we need to let the Holy Spirit teach us. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 14. Let's look at that. And so Paul here is speaking, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to the church at Corinth. And he's talking to them and he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Earlier, there was a prophecy given that was saying from God. God inspired Janine. He spoke through her and he was telling her to tell people, draw near to me. There, everything that you need is in me. We see what we have as Christians, the promises that God has given us, the way that we can choose to live by reading the Word of God. And as we read it and we go, wait a minute. God's word says that I don't have to be anxious for anything. And I'm just using that example because I have lived in that scripture. I have lived in it. And I don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I can present my request to God. Well, if I don't read the word, I don't know that that's in there. But as I read it and the Holy Spirit gives me understanding, this says, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Jesus said in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that he spoke. Okay, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I want to explain to you what this means. If you put up the PowerPoint, it is important to understand that spiritual things are not intellectually understood. It's not about how much of an education you have. It's not about if you can reason things out in your own mind. It is about they are spiritually discerned, the scripture says. That's why, and I've said this before, but it's vital that we understand it. That's why a child can understand a spiritual concept that they cannot explain. They know that they want to be close to God. They know that they have sinned. They might not be able to explain all the hows and whys of all the spiritual concepts, but it is revealed to them. They understand it from a spiritual standpoint. So it is not an intellectual thing. And that's why somebody can come into the church and they can understand spiritual things. If they can barely read, because the Holy Spirit can bring revelation and understanding. So don't ever let that keep you from thinking that you can understand the deep things of God. It is not an intellectual understanding. It is a spiritual understanding, because the scripture that we just read said the natural man cannot understand the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. But if you come at it, if you go to read your Bible and rather than going, well, I just don't understand that, the Holy Spirit, when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to reside within us. If you will picture the Holy Spirit, maybe for lack of a better way, my sister said this one time and it was so good. Just picture the Holy Spirit sitting beside you and pointing things out to you as you read. Often we miss the joy of spending time in the Word of God because we go, oh, I'd rather be watching TV, but I need to read a chapter of my Bible because the preacher says I'm supposed to. You know, that's the wrong attitude. You know, you will miss out on what God. But if you will go, God Almighty, who created the ends of the earth, God, will you just teach me something about yourself today? Will you teach me something about myself today? Will you show me what I need to learn? Will you give me some advice for the day? And then sometimes I would challenge you. Just ask God, is there something you want me to read? If you're determined you're going to start reading a new book, like you're going to, you know, you finished where you were reading. If you're not doing the 1-year plan, because that's a good plan. But if you're not doing that, just ask God, Holy Spirit, what should I read? If a book comes to your mind, just read it. We learn by hearing the voice of God, and God speaks. And sometimes I hear things and I can tell, God, that was definitely you. You led me to read that psalm today. Other times I read it and go, okay, that verse didn't make any sense. And maybe that wasn't God. Maybe the thought just popped in my head, but that's okay. That's how we learned. So just ask the Lord, God, is there something you want me to read? If you're already reading and you know, wherever you are, just say, God, just let me hear what you want to say to me. The word spiritually, I put up here, if you look it up in the Greek, the word spiritually means non-physically. They are spiritually discerned. So again, don't go into it with, oh, I just can't understand. I can't understand all these words and I don't know what this means. Many times I have gotten to a particular scripture and it's just like, it's just jump. I'm going, God, I don't understand. Like, I can't make sense of what this is saying. Stop and say, Holy Spirit, will you just give me revelation? You are the teacher. Will you teach me? Will you give me understanding? And then as you're doing that, slow down. Don't make it about, I got to read 48 verses in the next minute and a half so I can get back to watching television. You know, I mean, say to God, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? And then if while you're reading, another scripture comes to mind, you go, man, that sounds just like something that I heard in Sunday school this past week. Look it up. Look it up in your concordance. Look it up on Bible Gateway. Type it in, you know, because the Holy Spirit, it says, compare spiritual with spiritual. Many times I have had the Holy Spirit put verses together that I never knew. I thought, oh, he wrote the book. He knows what goes together and he knows how to connect dots in our minds. And it is so neat to see. When you see people that really surrender their lives to Jesus and they start coming to church, you can watch sometimes the light goes on as the Holy Spirit just begins to connect dots. Like, I've heard this before, but I don't really. And then sometimes I'll be preaching and you can just see people. I mean, they're just like, oh, you know, because I have done that. Like, I've done that. I'm hearing a message and I'm just like, you know, my mind is blown right now because of the revelation that just came from that scripture. But that's what God wants to do. Like, that's what he wants to reveal to us. So if you read it and you go, yeah, I didn't get anything from that, slow down. Go, Lord, what are you saying to me? You might have to stop and just be quiet for a few minutes. Some of the revelation that I've had on some of the scriptures that I haven't understood has been because I've gone, God, I know that you're showing me that there's something here, but I don't know what, I don't understand. I remember I was preaching a message one time on Luke 2, and I had gotten to this particular verse, and it was like I knew that there was a depth there, but I didn't know what it was. So I just started praying, and I just meditated on it, and through that week, and I have never forgotten that revelation, because it came from the Holy Spirit. He connected a scripture that I had never seen connected before. This is what God wants to do, to reveal and then teach us who he is, what his word means, how it applies to our daily life. And so make it as exciting as it is. If sometimes I heard John Bevere, he read a particular passage like 15 times because he said he kept feeling like the Holy Spirit said, read it again. You didn't get it. Read it again. Sometimes you might just have to reread it. Like I said, stop. My dad used to, he would just put his finger on the verse and pray in tongues just for revelation. You might have to do that. But just allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. If you don't understand everything about the passage, that's okay. You just kind of shelf it. You say to God, okay, Lord, I don't fully understand what you're saying. But God, if there is more here for me, I want to know it. And then if you have to go for that day, just shelf it. Don't go, well, obviously I can't hear from God. You can hear from God. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you can hear from him. He is the teacher. He will teach you. But sometimes it takes time. And so don't get frustrated and go, well, oh, that didn't accomplish anything. Because listen, I have left passages of scripture before going, I know there's more there. I don't get it right now. But God, whenever you want to connect that dot, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to understand what you want to reveal. And so there is depth, there is understanding, there is power, there is excitement and encouragement in scripture. But they are spiritually discerned. The word discern means to scrutinize. That is by implication, investigate, interrogate, determine. Ask yourself questions sometimes. Think about, if you're reading in the Gospels, thinking about what it would be like for the widow of Nain, whose son was raised in the middle of the funeral. I mean, imagine what that would be like. Put yourself in the position of those people, of the one who, in Acts chapter 10 of Cornelius, who, as Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell and they began to speak in other tongues. Think about what God was doing and what those people, what he was revealing. And then ask God. And every time, and when you read with your children, this is something that I'm trying to do with my kids, is when we read, ask them, now, how does that apply to us? Because the goal when we train our children and when we read the word is not just to learn Bible trivia. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, this is vital. It is not just so that we can spit back out answers. It is, how does this apply to me? What is God teaching me through this scripture so that I can apply it to my life? So, number two, God teaches us through people. One of our vision statements is to develop godly character and relationships. Develop means to grow or cause to grow and become more mature, advanced, or elaborate. God will bring relationships into your life to help you grow and mature. But you have to let them influence you. You have to open yourself up to allow him to use them to influence you. Because all of us can miss out on the growth God wants for us if we don't develop or grow in the relationships that he's bringing into our lives. We need to see life as a training ground. God is our Father. And just like we train our children, God is always training us. He is training us until we get to heaven. We are being trained. But he uses often the people in our lives. And so instead of being frustrated, we can surrender to the process and try to learn what he wants to teach us. If you have some frustrating relationships, wherever it is, at work, at home, wherever, ask God to show you what he wants to teach you through them. Because even Jesus submitted to those in authority over him and increased, which means to drive forward, to advance, or to grow in wisdom and stature. And stature means maturity in years or size. In Luke chapter 2, at the end of Luke chapter 2, Jesus had gone away and his parents couldn't find him. And then they found him in the temple. And in verse 45, actually, of Luke chapter 2, it says that when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And they said to him, son, his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. His parents didn't understand. Jesus was like, didn't you know that I would be about my... He wasn't talking about Joseph's business. Joseph was a carpenter. He was talking about spiritual things about his father, God. But his parents didn't understand it at this point. But notice, it says right after that, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus chose that word when it says, and he was subject to them. That means he was submitted to them. And so Jesus did that. And it says he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. He also stayed submitted to the Father God. Because he only did what he saw the Father doing and only said what he heard the Father say. And I will tell you, I really want to live this way. And it is hard sometimes when you want to say something, but you feel like God is saying no. Or when you want to, you feel like, I just need to do something. And God is saying, wait. But that is submission to the Father God, to doing things his way and his timing. And that's how Jesus lived. John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus practiced submission to his parents and also to his Father, Father God. John 12:50, Jesus said, and I know that his Father, command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Many times God uses the relationships in our lives to teach us when to speak and when to hush. And that is, for most of us, a work in progress that he does in us. But if we know the scripture, I'm not even going to say if, because we know the scripture is true, that says that we will give an account of every idle word that we speak. Why would we not be more submitted to the Father God to speak what he would have us to speak? to speak when he would have us to speak and to say what he would have us to say, because then we have less regrets. So the last one is trials and tests. James 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And this is probably a familiar scripture for a lot of us, but it's amazing to me how you can have heard a scripture so many times, and yet when you get there, you go, "Yay!" You know, I mean, it is hard to count it joy when you're going through testing and trials sometimes. As much as you know it to be true, it doesn't make it easy sometimes. But that's okay, because God will strengthen us to do and say and respond as he would have us to. So we shouldn't take this scripture and go, "Yeah, that's not going to happen." Like, we need to take this scripture and go, "Lord, you can strengthen me to count it all joy." To go, "God, what are you teaching me through this? Because I want to learn every ounce of what you want to teach me. I don't want to miss anything. I want to grow as much as I can out of this trial, out of what you're trying to teach me." So it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." I want to read just verse 2 through 4 in the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." That is the ultimate goal, to be perfect and complete, allowing God to do his work in our lives. Now notice it says the testing of your faith. It is our faith. I remember hearing my dad preach about this. It is your faith that is being tested. Why? Because we are saved by faith. It's through faith and impatience, the Bible says, that we inherit the promises. Our faith is a very big deal. In fact, Hebrews 11 and 12, 6, 11 and 12, that's what it says, "Through faith and patience inherit the promises." So our faith is very important. God wants our faith to be strong. He wants it to be strengthened. And it can be when we go through things, if we go through trials and learn through them, in the midst of them. It's interesting also that it says the testing of our faith, because usually that's the biggest struggle when we go through something. The struggle is to keep the faith, not necessarily in salvation. Like, I don't, you know, when we go through testing, it doesn't necessarily, like, now sometimes, depending on if you go through something really hard, a lot of people begin to question the goodness of God and question God and if they should be even serving him. Brian shared an example about that this morning. But it says, but I want us to understand that the struggle often is to keep the faith in the promise that God has given us. Because we might find ourselves in the midst of testing saying, "But God, you said. You said that you were going to do this," because the circumstances often seem so contrary to what we thought that we heard him say. And we look at the circumstances and go, "But God, I thought that you said," or, "God, I know that you said." And so, because we can then find ourselves like Abraham and Sarah, beginning to help God. Like, "God, maybe you meant for the son to come through Hagar. Like, I know you said that, you were going to give us a child, but maybe," and we start to try to help God based on what we need to do, thinking, "Maybe I didn't hear God at all. Or maybe it wouldn't hurt for me to just make a few steps forward and do a little bit of it myself to kind of help things along." You know, and it's easy for us to do that. Even if we felt like God said he was going to handle it, it's easy for us to begin to take things into our own hands. If you feel like responding that way, if you find yourself going, "God, did I hear you at all? I mean, I thought for sure, like, last week or last hour, you know, that I heard you, because that is the amazing thing to me, is how strong the sea of emotions can be, even in the midst of when you have heard from God. Like, God, I know that you spoke to me yesterday, and it's maybe only been, you know, since last night, but this morning it feels like maybe you didn't speak to me at all. And maybe I made it all up, or maybe I missed you, or maybe I wanted to hear it, and so, you know, I thought that I heard you. And that is the struggle. But that is when our faith is being tested. And so if you find yourself in that place, recognize that it's your faith that's being tested. But in the midst of your faith being tested is when it can be strengthened. Those are the times also that our faith, rather than leaving us, can go deeper and stronger, and we can get closer to him, and we can learn more about his voice, and we can stand stronger on the scripture. And so, just determine to let the testing of your faith bring endurance and patience, because often the testing is the waiting. The next verses in that same chapter right after that talk about asking for wisdom. Understandably so, because usually when we find ourselves in a season of testing, if we've learned to seek God, we begin then to ask for wisdom. But it says after we've done that, we understand why the verses that come next are important. Because when you ask for wisdom, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave driven of the sea. Will you play that video? This is like 20 seconds, I think. So just picture, this is what the Bible says, that if you doubt, this is what you're like, just like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed. And so many times that's what happens, is that we go through, as I said earlier, some of the hardest parts of the trials that we experience are the sea of emotion that we experience as we learn to focus on the word and what he has said instead of on what we see. Instead of what we can see with our physical eyes or feel, or instead of, you know, what we think and how we can figure things out. And I will attest to the fact that sometimes there is just a sea of emotion. And in those moments, we have to choose not to doubt based on what we see. And we have to choose instead to allow our faith to be strengthened. As we learn to believe that God really did speak to us, we allow the testing of our faith to produce the patience that we need. Something important to remember is that God is a good father. He knows what he's doing, and he hasn't forgotten us. He's not like, you know, sometimes when my kids were little and I would tell them, go sit on your bed, maybe because they were being bad or they needed to calm down, and I would get busy working and forget, you know, like they're like, Mom, from their bedroom calling, you know, and I go over there, can I get up now? And it's been like, you know, half an hour, you know, or whatever, maybe it only meant for them to sit there for 10 minutes. God never does that. God doesn't ever go, oh man, I didn't mean for that trial to last so long. Like I forgot about them. That never happens. He always knows what he's doing. And so if it seems like it's lasting a long time, don't lose hope. Don't let the enemy steal your faith, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to, in every test that God wants to use to strengthen our spiritual muscles and our faith, the enemy wants to use it to kill it, to cause us to go, why did I think I could hear from God? Why did I think that was God speaking to me? Why did I think that God would use me to accomplish that? Or that he would speak that through me? Or that he would answer that promise? Or that this would happen for me? That is the enemy, and he's a liar. And so if we will hold on to our faith and focus our attention on God, and in the midst of that, rather than looking at what we see or looking at what we feel or responding based on what we think, if we will look at Almighty God and say, God, you are a good father, and I know that you are true. And God, if I have missed it along the way, would you show me? That's what I've learned to live in. The Bible says that his sheep know his voice and another they will not follow. So my mom has always said, trust God more to get through to you than you trust yourself to hear him. And so I will rely on that and say to God, God, if I missed you, I'm trusting you to make it clear to me. If I, you know, got off track somewhere, I am trusting you to show me. And if we will stay open to him, he will show us if we start to get off track. He will reveal to us through a message, through the word, through someone else, and he will teach us that. So when we realize that he's training us not only for this life, but for eternity, we can decide that the testing we go through is definitely worth it. Because ultimately, we have to choose to remember, it is not just about this life. It is about the next one. And God is training us not only for down here, but for eternity. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, God, that even in the midst of testing, that you are faithful, that you are good, and that you are true to your promises. I pray that you would teach us to stand firmly planted on the words that you have spoken to us and allow you to work the patience and endurance that we need in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.